say, I come from a land of love. Read us low and mention her. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
Welcome to the Addictive Secured Podcast. My name is Mike.
Hey, I'm Emma.
This is episode 91. We love the land down under.
Yeah. And as you can hear, there's a fair amount of ambient noise here as we are recording this from the land down under. We're down in Albany this weekend for Linebreaker.
Yeah, so this is our fifth year doing Linebreaker, I think.
I think it's fifth. Fifth in 6 years.
So we do, we've done this trip since kind of the first full calendar year of OPSEC back in 2016.
Yeah.
And it's basically a trip where the two of us come down and host a tournament in Albany, which is, for those of you playing along, not in Western Australia. It's about 5 hours south of the Perth metropolitan area in Western Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's quite a little Warhammer community that happens down here, tabletop gaming in general, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys had started coming up to some of our tournaments. And when we first suggested this event, it was about connecting their community with ours.
Yeah.
And yeah, over the years, it's just grown and grown and grown.
And while the community has changed and shifted, we are seeing different players coming into from Albany and obviously different players coming down from Perth as well.
Yeah, now we do have probably two or three that have been to every Linebreaker in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have a good sort of transition of people depending on when we put it in the year and, you know, their own commitments are across the year. We do have a pretty consistent sellout of events.
Yeah.
And it's a really good weekend. It's affectionately known as Warhammer Camp because it is held at one of the scout venues here in Western Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so Scout Camp.
So we come down to the hall on the Friday afternoon, which is when we're recording this. It's about 8:30 at night and the frivolities have already gotten underway.
Mm-hmm.
And all the guys come down. We stay in the two dorms that are on site.
Yeah, so, you know, often in places we have smoking and non-smoking. In these dorms, the intent is to have snoring and non-snoring.
Or drinking and non-drinking.
Well, sadly, I was going to say, sadly, due to the amount of alcohol that can be consumed at Warhammer Camp, it can be snoring and snoring.
That is true.
So, and also, sadly, a lot of the walls don't make it all the way up to the ceiling, which makes it quite tricky for to try and block out some of the sound.
That is very true. So
it's all part of the experience.
It is. So we come down Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
We got down here today at about 5:30, mm-hmm. give or take. Some of the guys had already been down here prior to that.
Yep.
And the last of them showed up about half an hour ago now. And we all kind of have a meet and greet. There's some players here this weekend who've never attended a tournament before.
Yeah.
So they've decided their first event should definitely be to get in the car, drive 4.5 hours and be part of this event, which I think
it's a great one. And so the idea around Linebreaker originally was trying to... It was community, that's it. And building connections and getting the Albany players to know the Perth players, because at the time some of the Albany players were perhaps reluctant to come up to Perth with this idea that we had these super hardcore tournament players up in Perth, and so they didn't want to come and be part of that and have that be their experience. So it was about kind of breaking down some of those stereotypes and also trying to build friendships and connections between the Perth community and the Albany gaming community. What it also does, though, is it really does strengthen the connections between all of the players. So I always think it's a shame that a lot of the Albany players don't actually come and stay at the camp.
Yeah.
So because they live 10 or 15, half an hour from the venue, they stay at home and just come for the actual day.
Most of them, I mean, we've seen one stop in this afternoon. I know that one of the other locals is on his way here. He's just finished work, so he's hit me up and said he wants to come out and see everyone tonight.
Yeah.
But it does, we've certainly seen teams form at this event.
Yeah.
We've seen some really good friendships generate from this event into the wider community at events back in the metropolitan area. And I think as far as community building goes, it's one of our best events for that, because it really does sort of bring everyone together. We all stay together, we all eat together, you play the tournament together, you celebrate with each other, and then, you know, it's a shared experience.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably the biggest part of it.
This event is, so, we, you know, you've said this is the fifth one that we've done of this, and it is. It's also probably the longest. So tomorrow we start the event at 8:30, and the event's due to wrap up at 9:00 tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're doing four games tomorrow.
So four games.
And
so
that's off feedback from last year, where people wanted to play, like, we finished quite early last year, and it was like, oh, we could have played a fourth game.
Yeah.
So we're going to do four games tomorrow.
Well, that's the plan, whether we do the fourth game, depending on how people go. And we get to play it by ear because it is a smaller group and you get to go with what people want. But we're planning on doing the four games. But what I was going to say is the event is only a small part of it happens across the table.
Yeah.
So as you can hear, we're, you know, there is so much noise here. There's so much connection. Well, there's so much.
There's guys building and painting models.
Yeah, because, of course, the night before an event, people are painting their models.
Yep. So there's guys here who are putting the finishing touches on some armies. There's guys who have just met for the first time who are kind of, you know, getting to know each other.
So, sorry, that was where I was going with the point of it, is, you know, talking about these guys who are coming down and they're using this as their first event, as a launching pad into coming to events. I can't think of a better event, because while you do perhaps see a different side than you would normally see at an event.
Well, Shane's fully dressed for one.
I wasn't even going to go there. But anyway, you know, while you do see a different side of them and people do relax, you get to know people so much better.
Yeah.
Well, there's much more opportunity for that hanging out. And
well, that's it. The guys, like I said, the last of the stragglers rolled in from Perth at about 40 minutes ago now.
Yeah, and it was great. Everyone joined together in making fun of them.
Yeah.
This is how we create connection.
Making fun of Hugh specifically.
Yeah.
Mainly because one of the other competitors' wives is Hugh's boss and made him stay at work.
Well, Hugh forgot to book the day off.
Yes, he did. So that was a bit of good-natured ribbing that happens there. But, you know, everyone's here by about 8 o'clock. Some of the guys have been here since lunchtime. We rolled in, like I say, about 5:30.
Mm.
And I suspect that everyone will be up until midnight, 1:00, 2:00 tonight.
Yeah, and same again tomorrow.
Enjoying themselves and getting to know each other and just talking and, you know, being part of the community.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, tomorrow we've got three shared meals. We've got breakfast, lunch and dinner all with all the players. And again, tomorrow night will be a late one because the last game's not due to finish until quite late.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have dinner and then the night will go on. And then because none of us are doing anything especially taxing the next day other than driving home, it'll be another late one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll feed
them. It doesn't have to be. We do sometimes have people who are somewhat seedy and crawl off into bed.
Well, one
early.
Of the guys who's painting back there, he said, "What time's breakfast?" And I said, "Oh, 7:30. He said, "Okay, so if I get up at 7, that means I have to go to bed at 10. And he's still painting at the moment, so he's got about an hour and a half to go.
Okay.
But he's already gone, "No, I'm going to bed at 10. I want to be refreshed and ready for tomorrow."
Awesome.
And I've gone, "Okay. There are going to be plenty of bleary eyes tomorrow morning for you to take advantage of."
Yeah, and, you know, all the research will tell you that getting a good night's sleep before an important event is, you know, really great for peak performance and all of that, and how important it is to be well rested.
Even in the prep guide that I wrote.
Oh, there you go. And base.
Oh, God, we're getting the rules questions being slung at me from the back.
I can't actually hear what they're saying.
Oh, he's just winding me up. It's fine. Shane's just being Shane. We'll have him on there in a second for an interview.
So
he doesn't know that yet, but we'll do it.
Right, fair enough. Anyway, I have no idea what we were saying. The importance of sleep, I think. So,
yes.
You know, while we do recognise the importance of sleep, we also recognise that it's the importance of social connection.
Yeah.
Which does not need to include alcohol.
No, it doesn't.
There are some people here, myself included at the moment, who are not drinking.
No, and I think that this...
We're in the minority.
We are. And I've had one. But this event, I don't like to use the phrase, but I'll use it anyway. It's a boys' weekend.
Yeah.
And I use the phrase boys as a colloquialism for a group of friends to travel, because we have had women attend the event before.
Mm.
None this year.
No.
Other than yourself, obviously.
Mm.
But it is very much a bonding experience with a tournament thrown in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I almost think the tournament gives the impetus required for the trip.
Yeah, that's exactly
it. It's not necessarily the point of the trip, but it's definitely the ignition for going, yeah, we're all going, we're going to plan it, we're going to get the time off, we're going to talk to the partners.
Yeah, and as you said, we've now, like for this particular event, we've got a team that's relatively recently formed for our West Australian Team Championship, Team Challenge. You'd think I would know what that was called. The WATC, which is actually about to be renamed, so I don't need to learn the name of it.
No.
a relatively recently formed team who have come down for their first... It's their first Albany event.
Yeah, so there's four of the five members of that team are here. Four of the six.
I was going to say, I thought we had teams of six. What's happening?
There were teams of six. Four of the guys have come down. One of them is in Albany with his family, but has been now unable to attend.
But hopefully he's going to pop in.
Yeah, he said he was definitely going to try and stop him, but he just can't now play, which is why I'm going to be playing Ringer this weekend.
Yeah, which you're devastated about, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. Look, the fact that I'm actually going to get some game table time is a twofold benefit. Mm-hmm. Firstly, because it means that no one misses out on a game coming down here.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm also expecting at least one to drop for the final round tomorrow afternoon, depending on how tonight goes.
Mm.
So I may not get four games. But at the same time, it means that no one misses out.
Yeah.
And I need some table time with the new Dracari anyway, so we can record another podcast. Mm. So it's going to be...
And also because you're playing it in an event
a week's time.
Oh my goodness, it's only a week.
It is a week. So that'll be good for me to get some table time.
Yeah, definitely.
So we do have, it's 28 players this weekend, including myself. So I think there's 23 players in the room at the moment. A couple of them are still outside, but
we've
got about 22 or 23 people here at the moment. Mm-hmm. It started because one of the guys pulled out a Warhound because he has decided to bring one model to this event. Hugh has a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
It's normally a Revenant.
Again?
Yep. Yeah. Except this year, JD has done exactly the same thing. So we have two guys playing with just a Warhound with the competition to see who can do the worst.
Oh, nice.
So they're going to be really disappointed when they hear that I haven't done a wooden spoon for this event.
Oh.
So, but I've done the two awards I did last year, which I really liked, which was the Nefarious Interloper and the Hometown Hero.
In fairness, there's not many hometowners who are coming.
No, there's only four this year.
Yeah.
Which is, I think there's a transition happening in the Albany community with regards to tournaments.
Yeah, so I was just talking to one of the locals who was saying that what he's noticing is that some of the people who have been part of the Albany Tabletop Gamers group, so if you are around Albany, you can check them out. They do have a Facebook page. So people who have been a part of that are maybe transitioning away from 40K. So a few of them have moved into Bolt Action at the moment, and some of them who would normally be here are actually up in Perth at a Bolt Action event.
Yeah.
And that's a shame because we do kind of enjoy having that opportunity to be able to catch up with them even if they're not playing at the event.
Yeah.
So we will miss them. And actually, I'll just shout out to John Gill because I'm going to find my phone so I can get
the name. Get the right name.
I don't have my phone.
Is it over?
Where is it?
I think you've left it over in the kitchen. Go and have a look. I'll hold your microphone. We are recording this live, I should also add, and we're going to unedited and unabridged because we're going to publish this tonight. I'm going to edit, upload, and run it all through so you can listen to this first thing tomorrow morning. Or tonight, depending on when I finally get the upload to work. So, yeah, John Gill has been a supporter of ours for a while now in the Albany community, and Gilly is a baker by trade.
Yes, and it is Albany Bakehouse, which is what I thought it was called. And then I was thinking, oh my goodness, what if I get it wrong? Gilly was on last year's episode where we talked about Linebreaker. But Albany Bakehouse has sponsored the event and is donating all of the bread for breakfast and lunch. The bread rolls and so on. Yeah. So huge thank you to them and shout out. So if you happen to be around Albany, go down and check them out and say hello to them.
Gilly's working this weekend, isn't he?
No, Gilly's up in
Perth
playing Bolt Action, but I believe his wife is down working at the bakehouse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, special shout out to her then, because I suspect she'll be the one doing the delivery rather than him.
No, they've got... it's coming on a delivery truck. But anyway, that's another story that
Fair
doesn't
enough.
Need
well,
to be
Well, we appreciate
now.
It regardless.
Yeah, definitely.
So... the background noise is
significant?
It's not too bad looking at the levels on the audio at the moment, but it's probably worth trying to grab a couple of them before the night wears on too heavily.
Okay. So I'm wondering whether or not we find someone who perhaps...
Do we need someone old, someone new, someone borrowed, someone blue?
We got anyone who's blue?
Look, give it enough time.
Yep.
I know someone who's painting blue.
Yeah.
I can probably grab him at some point.
All right.
Let's grab Shane, because I don't think Shane's been on one of our podcasts before.
Okay.
And this is his second year.
Second, third.
Well, I was just trying to figure out whether the Dicing Combat Squad actually formed.
This is their third.
But did they form as a result of Linebreaker?
I don't know, but I am sure it is his third.
Well, I'm going to get him and you can ask him.
Okay, great.
You need to talk.
Oh, this is the downside to recording recording live. We don't get to fill it and, you know, just cut it out. But so we do have quite a few new people who are down here as well. And then we've got people who have been coming to all of the events. So Mark was going around trying to go, who's the most sober to talk to us? So Shane's just coming to join me. So Shane is from the Dicing Combat Squad. And he's also another person who has been part of sponsoring the OBSEC events through Qdale Tavern. So anyway, welcome, Shane.
Hi, Em. How you doing?
Good. How are you going?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. So Mark and I are just having a somewhat of a disagreement. How many years have you been coming to Linebreaker?
This is my third Linebreaker.
So I was going with three because I was working on your hair colour across the 3 years.
It's definitely whiter than when I first started.
No, actually, it was very blonde the first time that you came.
Very blonde, but now I'm going for the Gandalf look, so it's gonna get very grey very soon. But this is my third one.
Third one, yeah. Awesome.
I think we skipped a year at one point, so maybe this is the fourth year that I've come to Linebreaker.
So, what made you want to come?
It's an excellent weekend.
Yeah, there we go.
It's just a really fun weekend. It's one of those kind of, you know, being able to wake up and walk straight into the tournament is amazing instead of having to, you know, wake up and get yourself sorted in the morning.
Yeah. So you've got one small person in your house, but with that thing of going, okay, well, I've got to get my stuff sorted and I've got to get out of the house, but also there's family here, and you've already kind of done all of that, and now you just have to look after yourself and get yourself 100 meters down the path to into the room.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, to be honest, in most tournaments, my family is pretty lenient about me getting up in the morning. My wife likes to joke that the only time I ever get up before, like, say 9 o'clock in the morning is when there's a tournament on, because I'm definitely not a morning person.
Mike and I have the same thing. Yeah. So the only time he gets up to his alarm is when he's got an event on. Otherwise, his alarm goes off, I wake him up, and after multiple wake-ups, then he'll get out of bed. Unless there's if there's a tournament on, you're like, oh, you can get up.
That's totally me, eh?
Yeah.
I'm not a morning person at all. So I think that's probably one of the key things to me about Linebreaker.
Yeah.
Is getting as much sleep as possible in the morning. It's actually really, really cool to come down and play with the Albany boys, because, over the years, we've become pretty, like, friendly with a lot of the guys down here. And, sometimes you don't appreciate how far they have to travel. I mean, we've got Connor on our team who comes from 2J like every second week to come play with us. And that's a good drive. But coming up like a good 4 to 5 hours to the numerous tournaments we have, like at least once a month these guys are coming up. So being able to come down with them.
It's dedication, isn't it?
Yeah. And just having fun with them and, you know, the good socializing the night before. Being able to socialize the night after and just the whole atmosphere of Linebreaker is really, really good.
Yeah, and for me, that's the big difference between Linebreaker and the other events, is that it is so much more social and you do get to find out who people are. And I think people have different personas, so who you are across the table can be very different to who you are across a dining table.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's kind of what I love about it.
No, like, I mean, the community in WA is really good, and being able to actually get to know more and more people. Like,
yeah,
there's certain players that, you're right, like, at first you might play them against the table and you're like, oh, okay, cool, that was fun. That was, like, it's always a good game and stuff. But then when you get to actually know them, you're like, all right, cool. Like, because sometimes, especially when you're playing a game at, you know, certain events and stuff, you have your game face on, you get a little bit more serious than normal, and you could potentially rub someone up the wrong way and they think, oh, okay, this guy's very, very serious, but definitely certain
actually,
people are not serious.
Away from the table, very different.
No, it's great. Like, it's something I think in a lot of tournaments, especially recently, like, after the tournaments, there's been a lot of, like, socializing and stuff and getting more into that. So Lionbreaker being that, but being just a bigger version of that is so much better.
Yeah. And Mike was suggesting, I don't know whether or not it's right, but is this where Dyson Combat Squad was formed? Or did it happen outside of here?
It kind of... So Dyson Combat Squad formed because Hugh used to work... Hugh used to work with me and Dan.
Yeah.
Back at the QDAL. And... I mean, I've been playing Warhammer for years and years and years, but not competitively.
Yeah.
Like, just casually at home and stuff. And Dan, honestly, he'd probably only played a little bit before that. And Hugh was obviously, like, playing stuff, and he'd gone to a lot of OPSEC stuff. And he's like, all right, Shane, you gotta start getting into it. And yeah, I believe this was one of the first tournaments I'd ever gone to.
Yeah.
Because she was like, oh, this, you got to come down to Lionbreaker, come down to Albany. It's a really good weekend, la, la, la. And I said, yep, cool. I'll jump in with you guys. And I came down. And after that, we were talking about, like, what's he coming up? And I said, all right, this is amazing. This whole tournament thing's great. Let's sort out a team.
Yeah.
I think we had done show, like, I'd done a tournament at show and a couple other little tournaments here and there. And said, let's get a team together. Hugh was obviously on the Hooligans, but they lent us him for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, we've got shared custody of Hugh every second year.
It's whoever's most unfortunate to have that weekend.
Yeah. Well, he's got to compete for a spot because we went from, like, just a couple of boys just having a laugh and stuff, and then after our first WotC, we thought, all right, let's step
let's
this up.
We
I think
can
we
do.
Could do good. And
yeah.
We put in a little bit of effort last year, and we did okay. But yeah, like, as it's been going, like, we've been getting more and more into it.
Yeah,
it's kind of taken. Like, Earl was a War Machine player.
Yeah,
and he'd played maybe like two games of 40K before our first WATC, and after that he was hooked.
Yeah.
And we played almost a game a week at the moment, just me and him.
And it was actually funny seeing that, because I'd known Earl as a War Machine player.
Yeah.
And he's someone who, he's such a lovely guy. Across the table, even though he's still friendly and he's still, you know, but he's a game face kind of person, you know. It's happening hard and fast.
Yeah.
And then when he's away from the table, it's, as we were saying before, it's just he's a very different guy.
Yeah.
But there was no way he was going to be playing 40K.
I think,
and now all of a
sudden. Yeah, honestly, I think 8th edition has helped. Well, 8th edition and now 9th edition has helped so much because, previous to that, he's like, why would I play Warhammer? It's a joke game.
Yeah.
Like, it's dumb. Like, I'm not going to play that. I'm like, no. Hear me out. It's good now. It's good.
Yeah.
And he's been hooked ever since. I don't think he's played a game of War Machine since he's played with us. And then obviously with Ben and Aaron joining as well. They're both War Machine players and stuff.
Yeah.
So, we're slowly stealing all the War Machine players into the Dyson Combat Squad, but they're good players, you know. They come from a game system that's very, very, very tight, very particular and stuff, and they play a very tight, very good game.
Mm.
So,
But I think that... So it's been interesting seeing how the team kind of events has shifted the way that the community interacts with each other as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, seeing people who perhaps, you know, might have caught up once in a while and now practicing regularly, or the friendly bickering and rivalry between teams, how that kind of brings people together as well.
No, honestly, I think like Perth's in a really good spot at the moment where you've got like you've got a lot of teams, you've got a lot of good players, you've got a lot of very active players, and there's rivalries, but everyone. Like, it's in a very good spot at the moment where, you know, we can throw shade at some other team and other players and stuff like that, and we throw up memes. And we like to, you know, like us, obviously us, the Dyson Combat Squad, personally, like to take the piss a little bit. Yeah. We like to maybe go a little bit above in certain things. But no, it's good because, you know, everyone is doing it in fun and it's coming across. And creating a little bit of rivalry is good.
Yeah, because, definitely. You know. And I'm not sure if it is kind of something that's specific to Australians in that way that we do take the mickey out of people, but it is generally done. It's done with love and affection.
Oh, 100%. So, yeah, 100%.
You know, I was joking before that we all made fun of Shane when, not Shane, we all made fun of Hugh when he arrived because, you know, he was the last person who got here and everyone knew that he was working for your wife and your wife made him stay.
Yeah, she did.
He hadn't booked the time off work. But, you know, although that was, you know, we all joined together in sharing that experience of making fun of him.
Yep.
It was done with love and affection. We 100%. Wouldn't do that to a new person who was walking in. That's not the first experience you would get of us is, oh, let's all point and laugh.
Yeah.
But it's Hugh. We know him.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think it's, you could think that it might be off-putting to newer people coming in. But I don't think, everyone's so welcoming in. Yeah. And it's, you know, you've got, even when you go to events where you're seeing, like, these really good players, you know, like when I first started playing, like I was, you know, in a few years, you know, I played a bit, but like I came in and I'd see like, you know, your Mitches and the Hortons and stuff like that, and be like, oh, these guys are and everyone being at the very top players to, you know, to all across the board are so welcoming of everyone, and the community's just so good that
And it's quite funny when you talk about you know, Mitch and the Hortons and that kind of thing. I love watching them at different events because I walk past and go, Mitch, are you coaching your opponent again? He's like, oh, it's not my fault. Like, no, it's okay.
he's really good for that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the best thing. Like, even, you know, you could be the greatest player in the world or whatever, but if you're not helping other people out, then you're not, you know, you're not going to get that challenge to come back at you. Yeah. And I think that's what everyone here really is good at is.
Yeah.
And even like the Warhammer community in a whole, it's not that kind of like toxic community that people used to think of in the past. It's nothing like
it's
that.
It's really
at all.
Not, and I've never experienced that. And so that's kind of what I'd heard about and I'd read about when, you know, before we got started. And then when I was going to events, I'm thinking, well, where are they? Because either they're doing a really good job of hiding it, or these people aren't here. So
yeah. No, I'd heard nightmare stories about, you know, stuff in like 6th and 7th edition, and that had always kind of kept me as just a home gamer, like just with my friends and stuff. And like I said, it wasn't until Q kind of brought me into the scene and stuff, I thought, all right, cool. Nah, this is actually really cool.
Yeah.
It's not at all what you think about, what you hear about online and stuff like that. Well, especially here. Like, I don't know about other places, but 100% in Perth, it's not like that at all.
Yeah, but I'm just not aware. I'm not sure whether or not it's like this in other places. So I guess what I don't want is people who are hearing it who aren't from Perth going, oh, God, I'd never want to go there. Like, they're awful. All they do is make fun of people. Like, or, you know, take the piss out of people, that kind of thing. I swear, we're nice people, honest.
Yeah. No, we are. We're definitely nice people.
Yeah. With unusual senses of humour.
Very unusual senses of humour, yeah, definitely.
So have you had a chance to look at the lists for this weekend?
Well, I've seen Hugh's list and I've seen JD's list.
Yep.
I've seen my list.
So out of those three, how do you think you're going to go?
Well, both of those lists are Titans.
Yeah, no, I know.
And my list has got a few melters in it, so I might be okay against them. As for the other list,
the other 20 something in the room,
honestly, we joked about the running joke is that Linebreaker was supposed to be a super fun, non-meta, not hyper competitive list, and then we all looked at the list and went, "What the hell's going on here?" Like, we come down to Albany, you know, once a year and play these fun lists, and we've come down and it's just insane, like the amount of really hyper tuned armies. Yeah. But in saying that, there's like maybe one Dark Angels army in there. There's like maybe a couple of Death Guard, I think. There's a lot of, I can't think. Maybe there's one Harlequins list. I don't even think there's a Harlequins list.
Yeah,
like,
no, I don't think so.
I'm the only Sisters player.
Yeah.
There's almost no Space Marines. There's a few Drakari, like, you know, they're the new hotness, but there's a lot of really cool looking lists that aren't exactly what you would think is meta.
That's
really cool.
But I almost like that there are strong lists this time.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we first started coming, I think because of this perception around what Perth players were going to be like and this perception that the Albany players had and the concern that they had around playing the hardcore Perth players, so we did try and make sure that Perth players dialed it down a bit.
Yeah.
Make sure that you are taking softer lists, make sure that you're not going to give them the experience that they're expecting.
Sure.
But we've been coming for so long now and created those good relationships that actually we don't need to dial anything down.
Yeah.
And also because of it, the Albany players have been coming up to us. And so, you know, their experience with tournaments are improving as well. And so we don't need to be dialing anything down. And it's the Albany players who are, you know, they're strong players.
100%. Like there's you can't think of going, kind of having that thought that, oh yeah, Albany players, like they don't get very many tournaments. They're just a bunch of country bumpkins that don't know. No, they come up regularly. And even if they didn't, there's a really good scene here in Albany. You know, like, I went to Elandril Games. For the first time in January this year, me and the family came down for a little bit of a holiday. And I thought, all right, let's go find this game store that they're talking about in Albany. That thing is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, Elandril's really, really cool. I was blown away at how like big it is and how thriving it was. We were there on like a Tuesday night. It was packed, you know, and people were playing games and stuff. And I thought, this is amazing. Like, it's not this tiny little country town where there's three people playing Warhammer. It's a big thing down here.
Yeah, and there are, I think there's a lot of pockets of, you know, kind of carport gamers down here. So it would be great to see more of those joining together and feeling comfortable going to joining the club and that kind of stuff. But there are lots of people playing down here and lots of opportunities for playing as well. Well, I'm wondering where my husband's gone. But have you got any other thoughts about Linebreaker before I thank you? And
Let's think. I want to thank you guys for always putting on a great event every year.
To say this now because we haven't done it yet. It could be terrible.
No, it would be great. I mean, I don't know about us tomorrow, but it'll definitely be great. But it's always good to come down for a fun event.
No,
I haven't really got much else to say. I don't know. This isn't live, so people can't comment on how a certain couple of players were robbed about not being able to take 0 point Palatines because, I mean, rules is written, they're in there. Mike's not always wrong. He's not always wrong. Sometimes he is. Like,
sometimes he really is.
You know, he's not like, you know,
fair's
fair. He's
wrong.
A pretty fair guy.
Are you sure?
But, you know, like, but sometimes everyone gets to make a mistake every now and again, and I think Mike's made a mistake here.
But this is it. Sometimes people make a mistake and who has to pay the price?
Exactly. You know, poor Hugh and JD wanted to take their two Palatines with their Warlord Titan and it's just, come on, man.
Oh.
I mean, just let them have it.
Yeah.
Just
poor,
let them have
poor
it.
Poor Hugh, poor JD. Oh, dear.
We got nothing else.
Perfect.
I want to say hi to my mum.
Because I'm sure she'll be listening to this.
Yeah. Mum, if you're listening, hi, I love you. Loki, if you're listening, you should be in bed by now. And Luna, I love you.
Awesome. Cool.
Thanks for the chat.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Cheers.
There is no debate about 0 point Palatines. No, you can't use them, Shane. Go away.
Well, you weren't here for the discussion, so...
It doesn't matter.
We've overruled you.
Tough... It's real tough.
Shane has been for 3 years.
It is third year?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. John's one of the newbies who's just come in. He was nominated by his team to come and chat to us in a second, but we'll see whether he knows that when Eric's finished.
Right, awesome.
So I've just been outside and I'm already getting rules queries. The tournament's not for 12 hours and I'm starting with rules queries early, so that's always good. Clarifying void shields. because the Peanut Gallery decided two different ways of reading it.
And fair enough. It's always good to clarify things before the event rather than waiting until two days after.
I would have done it before submitting the army list, to be fair.
Well, yes, but here's the thing. So we assume that the way we read it is the way that it should be read. So if you've assumed that X means X...
Well, the problem is the two players in question who are running it, mm-hmm. who are good friends who play each other regularly, have two different readings of that.
Yeah, but so if you haven't discussed that with them, how do you know that there's
No. They've discussed it. They just haven't been able to agree on it.
The point that I'm trying to raise is that I can understand why people would leave it until the last minute to ask that, because they may not realise that they've had a discrepancy in how they've understood it.
All right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on that one. Mm. I think I would have asked before now.
Well, again, you don't know if you don't know that there's a discrepancy, you can't ask, can you? All right.
All right.
John's coming down now.
Does John know he's talking to us? You have heard that? We'll give you a minute. We're going to do an interview. When you're free. All right.
Okay, this is going to be an interesting episode.
It will be an interesting episode, but that's okay, because I'm going to try and upload it tonight. So it's not going to be too big, because okay. If I'm going to upload it tonight, it needs to be a manageable upload size.
Perfect.
So now we have everyone here. I knew we were still missing someone.
Mm-hmm.
So John is the... I don't know if he's the official captain. I'm going to call him the captain, because I feel like he is. Of the Howling Manchies.
Mm-hmm.
They finished third for the WATC in 2020. Newly formed team. They did really well.
Yeah.
I think they snuck in and beat the Dicing Combat Squad, didn't they?
They did, because I'm fairly sure the Dicing Combat Squad came in fourth.
Yeah, I'm 90% sure they were a fourth place finish there. So
yeah.
Did you finish fourth for WATC? Did you guys finish fourth?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but behind the Howling Manchies, yeah?
The Leaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Leaper factor.
The Leaper curse. Yeah.
So we have confirmed they were a fourth place finish for 2020.
I knew they were a fourth place because of the running joke with
Ben. Yeah. We love you, Ben. But I've just had a quick chat to some of the boys outside, some of the new players as well, who... I've been talking to them online prior to the event just to kind of clarify some of the rules queries that they've had, because obviously when you first come to a tournament, it can be a pretty scary prospect. I don't really like the word scary, but it can be a little intimidating, because you get used to playing with your mates a certain way. You get used to playing with certain expected house rules or...
And what's it going to be like with other people?
At a certain pace.
Yeah.
Timing your games is a really big shift.
Mm.
So it can be quite, I don't know, I can't think of a good word that doesn't sound horrible, like daunting, intimidating, like none of those feel right. But I suppose they are as accurate as anything else.
Yeah.
Because you do end up in a position where you're left going, well, am I going to end up fighting with someone over a silly rule?
I wouldn't think it's about fighting with somebody over a silly rule. It's just different. It's just... not what you used to. It is stepping outside your comfort zone. So if you're used to playing against a particular friend that you've played with for the last 2 years, you know how that player plays.
Yeah.
You know what the interaction's going to be like. It's an experience that you've pre-qualified. And then you're walking into a room where you not only don't know what the experience is going to be like, but you don't even know who you're going to be playing, let alone you don't know... Yeah. Who the person is, you don't know their personality type is, you don't know what the army is, you don't know how that armory is going to interact with yours. It's different. Nothing's been pre-qualified. Everything's up in the air. So you can look at it.
I suppose it's a risk.
Yeah, and you can look at it that it's exciting, and you've got this huge opportunity to be able to expand your playing opportunities, or you could look at it that it's highly stressful and really quite daunting.
Yeah, and look, I mean...
I encourage people to choose it, to look at it as exciting.
Yeah, and that's the one I, however,
would struggle to get out of the car.
I flew halfway around the world, more than halfway around the world in some cases, to play at
you
events.
You and I are very different people.
Yeah.
Even coming to Albany, despite, I absolutely love the Albany event, and, despite the fact that I say that this is one of my favourite events of all of them that we run, I still get here and think, I don't know if I can get out, I can't do this. So, and I know all of the people,
Most of
the people here.
And then the flip side of that is when I've travelled for 40K, it doesn't bother me at all meeting someone across the table.
No. Very different people.
Yeah. I think you should adopt my approach.
would be great, but sadly that's not my personality type.
No, so. I'm just saying that going in with a positive point of, you know, positive frame of mind and positive reference and kind of going, yep, this, you know, we're going to make the best of it. We've paid all this money and travelled this far. Let's go in and enjoy ourselves. Let's go and make the most of the opportunity.
Mm.
And this also comes back to all the idea of setting goals for yourself and what you're hoping to achieve out of a tournament and those sorts of things.
Yeah, and that's, you know, with the Albany event, I think that the goals that we have for the Albany event are probably very different to the goals that most people have for most regular tournaments.
It's funny because I was talking to some of the guys and they were saying that there's definitely some players who've written lists that are taking the event more seriously than others.
We've just had that conversation, You know, we started out with Albany's supposed to be soft and fluffy, and we've got some lists that are bit sharp and pointy.
Well, it's funny because I think part of that is also in response to the Albany players' proficiency.
Just had this conversation, And you weren't part of it, but
I think that's really good. Yeah. I think that the fact that when we first started, without any disrespect intended to the Albany players, we had a whitewash of awards that all went to the Perth players. And as the years have gone on, the gradient has moved so that it's not a given that all the Perth players are walking away with awards.
No, look, Perth players generally have a higher chance of walking away with awards
because
there's a lot more of them. When you've got 24 from Perth and 4 from Albany, which is, you know, what I was saying before, when you've got the interloper versus the, what's the other one? Local?
Hometown hero.
Hometown hero. We've got 4 vying for the hometown hero and 24 vying for the interloper. You know, chances of getting the hometown hero are much higher, aren't they?
That's true. But I think, I mean, those awards were something that I set up just to kind of create that, you know, it was basically an opportunity to make sure that we were rewarding people who came with the right attitude.
Yeah.
Because those are judges' awards that we can kind of go, you know what, you came down with the right attitude, you sort of epitomised what the event was about. You were, you know, kind and courteous to everyone you played against. You got to play against, you know, people from the opposing community.
Yeah.
Opposing is probably not the right word, but we'll go with it. John walking past, I think, just about ready for his interview, but looking very tired and worn out. It's been a long day for a lot of guys. So, those awards are there to represent and, you know, award people for that. So, I think we've got John coming now.
Yep.
Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, we've got John and Eric's coming down as well. So we'll get you guys to share the microphone. And
We can do that.
And what I might do is go and see whether or not I can find someone who this is their first tournament.
Yeah.
And then I might see whether or not we've got someone who's been to all of the tournaments.
Well, there's a couple of them, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see if we can do that. So I will pass this over and, you can a chat.
So, from the Howling Manchies, I have John and Eric. Now, because of the rudimentary rig that we've had to set up, we are going to be passing the microphone back and forth. So, we're going to start with John. How are you going, man?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good, man. So, first trip to Albany.
For this, yes.
For this event.
I go to Albany a lot for work, though.
Yeah. So I have to ask the first and obvious question. Why did you decide to drag 3 of these motley crew with you to Linebreaker this year?
To try and place the Howling Manchies somewhere. That's it. Get those team points. That's it.
I love the honesty.
That's
I love it.
And plus, they're a good bunch of guys. So it's good fun.
So you guys formed just before WATC last year.
Yeah.
And finished 3rd, which was awesome.
Submarined our way in there. That's it.
Look, don't delegitimize it. You did well. You guys played a really good tournament.
We lost the right round to get back in there. That's it. Lose round 2 and then come back in with another 3 wins.
Oh, look, you know, winning's winning.
That's it.
So, I was really, really excited to see you guys put your name up for coming down for this event. We talk a lot about this event being not just about the 40K. Like, the 40K tournament is the reason to kind of get everyone together, but it's not the sole purpose of the trip, if you kind of follow me there. It's a lot about community and, you know, building your team relationships and friendships and that sort of stuff. So is this the first trip away you've had with the other 3 guys?
Yep.
So it's yourself, Eric, Mark.
And Matt.
And Matt,
He's a new member.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's it's his first competitive event.
First tournament.
Yeah, so It'd be interesting to see. It's a nice casual one from DeJoin, or casual in with quotations.
That's well, it. Emma was just saying with Shane that the level of seriousness for the event has changed over the years because the Albany players have actually sort of slowly been getting better and better and better, so that now when we're on their home turf, they kind of come out with some pretty solid lists and some pretty pretty decent players coming at you. So
it's a lot of Mortarians.
Yeah, I've noticed that. We actually Eric and I were looking at a bright blue Nurgle army just across the way from us there. I'll try and get some photos of it to go with the show notes for this episode. So I'm assuming that's a Perth player because the Albany players aren't here yet. So that'll be an interesting one to see on the tabletop. So what are you playing this weekend?
Custodes.
Custodes.
Yeah, minimal paint effort required. That's it, with a busy lifestyle. I think I've got 18 models in my army, but I still haven't finished painting them. I brought all my paints to finish painting them today. So we do
run the official OBSEC standard of battle ready. However, I know there are more than a few people in the room who are taking that standard very, very generously.
Everything will be battle ready.
Look, what I was going to say is this event, because we do treat it as more than just a tournament, sometimes spending 3 hours sat by yourself in a corner painting is less about what the tournament and event is for. Because it's about coming down and hanging out with your team, hanging out with the other teams and the other players here, and being part of the bigger picture, I suppose.
I guess as long as it's not grey plastic.
Yeah, pretty much. There are a couple of the guys, one in particular, who has had way too much to drink way too quickly. And he said to me, "I've got four models that are the spray painted gold. I need to put blue on them, but I can't see properly. Do I have to put blue on them tonight?" And I went, "Look, if you and your mates can kind of form a production line, I'd prefer it." But
I wasn't sure if it was like off beer or vomit I could smell when I walked in here. Has someone been sick already?
No, not that I've seen. Not that I've seen.
Okay, maybe it's just stale beer somewhere.
Look, there's a big glass.
Earl is here.
Yeah, look, there's a whole bunch of stuff happening in the background. There is a Warhound sat in front of a big jug of Coke and something. I'm not sure what. There are two Warhounds here this weekend, to be fair.
Are they playing our first round?
I don't know. I think they were talking about a grudge because I think they were vying for last place.
Well, that's it. They play each other. Then only one of them can get last place.
Well, in theory, yeah.
In theory, yeah. Unless they just draw.
Yeah. two Warhounds, one explodes and kills the other, and they both score zero.
That's it.
That's possible. It's unlikely, but it's possible.
It's the first round. Is that a six objective mission?
I think it is.
Yeah, so if there's none in the middle, they can just walk in the middle. They can't score anything. They just beat each other to death. Just take Titan Hunter.
The foolish thing is they both put very large round bases on those models, so they're not even going to be able to move. So
then magnetise the base like a scenic base.
I hope so. We'll find out in the morning, I guess.
They got 24-inch guns and they can't get past the buildings that are on the table.
So they can't shoot each other.
Can you destroy buildings? You can't destroy buildings.
No, you can't anymore, no. But, yeah. So you were down... The four of you came down together today?
Yes, yeah, I drove everyone down today. So.
And then had to nick out very briefly and...
Yeah, I have a friend in Albany I was visiting, so...
Oh, cool. Kill two birds.
That's exactly, yeah. I don't see her very often, so it's good to catch up.
Yeah, for sure. You're not tempted to bring her out here and watch the madness?
No, she would not be interested in this stuff, no.
We do get a few spectators.
She didn't even know what it was. I just had to show her photos of what 40K was while we're having dinner because she had no idea what it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's always interesting watching a normie experience it for the first time.
That's it. I think she'd walk in here and probably just like, and yeah, I don't think she knew how to deal with it. Not her scene.
We, as we mentioned in the intro, we're at a scout camp down here in Gill Creek in Albany. And the two caretakers who live on the property, they like to come over and stick their head in the door during the day just to kind of look at what's going on. And one of the sons that lives with them is a D&D nerd, so he likes coming over and checking stuff out as well. He has a better understanding. But it's always interesting watching them come in and kind of wander around, not really sure what they're looking at. They're lovely people, but they definitely look at us and go, "That's cool. You guys have fun. Clean up after yourselves, you're fine.
Pay money to come here and rent the hall out and play toy soldiers.
And don't wreck it. That's good. But what we might do, since you haven't even had a chance to sit down and do anything other than walking back through the door because we nabbed you straight away, we might get the mic handed over to Eric and give you a chance to breathe, and we'll have a chat to Eric now. Eric is one of the guys who has spent probably the last hour or two painting.
Sure have.
Well, maybe not an hour or two, but you've definitely been at it for a little bit now.
Well, if you include the time this morning and last night, it's definitely been a few hours.
So you're running... What was that? A very friendly list. My ass, it's a friendly list.
There's 19 seekers. That's friendly.
And how many keepers of secrets?
Two.
And how many named keepers of secrets?
One.
And here we are. So it's friendly is not a word I would necessarily
There's
use.
Chariots as well.
Oh, good. So is it pure Slaanesh?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't earn any friends with pure Slaanesh at the moment.
Yeah, you do.
No, it's
See, there you go.
It's like offering salad at a barbecue. You don't make friends with salad. So
it's all cocaine salad you do.
All Slaanesh is just not a thing. Or actually it is. It's a very good thing, which is the problem. Particularly on the terrain heavy boards that we see a lot with Ninth. So what is the full list? You got Shalaxy.
So Shalaxy, two Keeper of Secrets, both of which will be exalted.
Are you rolling for them or are you upgrading?
Rolling, yeah. Always roll because okay. Doubles. Why would you never, ever not
well,
just roll doubles?
It's interesting you say that because I've had a conversation with another player, a very prolific Demons player, about the Lord of Change. Hmm. And the conversation was, I think you should always take the Feel No Pain on the Lord of Change. His response was, but all six of them are good for the Lord of Change in my list. My response was, but 3+ invulnerable healing keeper Lord of Change is really good. Yeah, but if I roll for it, I could get that and -1 to hit.
Exactly. And then
I shake my head and go, no, you're wrong. Take the Feel No Pain.
I think it's all because I have two of them. There's the higher chance of getting something good. And the only thing that is only kind of circumstantial is the Fear Seeker one, where you do things based on the morale checks. But so apart from that one, everything else is good in any situation, whereas that one's just kind of...
Well, morale's a weird one at the moment. We are starting to see the Drakari book starting to influence morale choices with Dark Creed and Phantasm Grenade launches and Tormentor Helms and a few other modifiers that you can produce. But I still think morale's a big gap in the rule system at the moment because it doesn't necessarily do enough to justify spending time and effort in making your army do things in that environment. So... yeah, I can understand why you don't necessarily want to get that one. You will get it at least two games tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I bet money on it.
No, there'll be a game where it's against probably Custodes or something, and both of them will
Legion
get it. Legion
9,
just be like,
who just don't care.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you got the three big Gribblies.
Yep, then I've got the Contorted Epitome of the Mirror. I've got a Exalted Herald of on a Exalted Seeker Chariot. Two Hellflayers, 5 units of 10 Demonettes with no upgrades, and... 2 Fiends, and then 19 Seekers with a banner, which will let them, which is upgraded to the special banner to reroll all attacks in one
for one phase.
Yep. And yeah, that's it.
So it's basically, I'm going to come and hug you with pointy things, army. Yep. Not a single gun.
Lots of tongues. There's two whips.
I don't know if they count as a gun per se, but they do have a shooting profile, so yep. I'll give you that. So have you actually used the list before?
I've used half of it before, which was at the 1,000-point event.
So the answer is no, you haven't used this before.
I mean, if you count one game where I was using Maliceptors as chariots, then yes.
Maliceptors as chariots. Look, to be fair, those models are fiddly to build, and I know more than one player who's built one and gone, yeah, never again.
They're actually quite. I have actually quite enjoyed the challenge of because I did the dumb thing of gluing them to the base. And
then
quite enjoyed the
them?
Challenge of trying to... Yeah, I feel like it's been not too bad. And, you know, anything that I can't really quite cover, I'm sure a good helping of Blood for the Blood God on the spokes will be fine.
Absolutely. Spray paint, contrast, hasn't quite worked.
The Slaanesh army is 100% contrast.
Typhus corrosion or something to hide whatever you need to hide.
Yeah.
Can't really do that with Custos, though, John, so you might be out of luck there. So, your white Custodes, that's insane.
I mean, Custodes, don't you just do Retributor... And then Null and Oil, and then just a little bit of dry brush, and you're done?
I don't know. The gold I did for my Custodes was about 10 layers or something.
That's 9 layers too many.
It's actually, if you want to go looking for it, if you jump on the OBSEC website and look up Custodes, there's a painting guide there for it. And it's like a spray, 2 dry brushes, 3 different washes, 2 more dry brushes, another wash to try and build up this burnished gold color. And it looks really good, and it's actually really simple to do. The funniest part was when I published that article... it ended up in the Custodes Facebook group, and one of the guy's comments was, it doesn't work like that, you can't do that. And I've got stage-by-stage photos, and I did it, so it does work like that. No, what you've done would never achieve that. You've done more than that. Okay, then, moving on. That's 100% what I did, but sure.
Random people on the internet are never to be trusted.
Oh, look, they're always right. You know that. So I must have done something wrong. So you're looking forward for the weekend?
Yes, quite fun. Quite looking forward to it. It should be fun.
So we got 4 games tomorrow. It's going to be a long day tomorrow.
But I don't have to drive 45 minutes to get here in the morning.
Or afterwards.
Exactly.
So, and that I think is part of the fun of this event is we can afford to go a little bit later.
Yeah.
We, you know, you can finish your last game, have some dinner and go to bed if you've completely shot. And or you can hang around and normally Cards Against Humanity gets pulled out by someone or some really weird board games have come out over the years as well. We didn't bring any this year, I don't think, did we? No, we didn't.
Yeah, I'm quite annoyed I forgot to bring Catan or Abyss.
Catan's made an appearance before. There was a Marvel Super Heroes one a couple of years back.
Hell Hydra?
No. It's a card version. You know, I've got nods from people around me knowing what I'm talking about. I just can't think what it's called. We've had a few different board games over the years. Cards Against Humanity is always the messiest. Normally because it's done on the Saturday night after everyone's finished their games and had dinner and drinks and... Yeah.
At least there's not much setup.
No. But that has gotten messy over the years.
Did you ask Eric and John what actually made them come to this as their very first event? Their very first Albany event. Eric, what made you actually come?
It was the idea of getting in some games of...
Okay, Eric, I'm going to need you to hold on a second because it turns out I can't hear a word you're saying. Hang on. Now with headphones on, let's try again.
It was kind of... One of the things was the idea of getting to play with a new community and have some very different games because everyone always plays everything differently. So it would be good to have a bit of a variety for that. But then also just being able to hang out with some people that know some new people and have some fun for a couple of games and just not take anything too seriously and just have a bit more of a relaxed environment as opposed to the more, I guess, competitive, air quotes, fingers, you can't see, that's up in a bit more in Perth.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to hand this back to Mike now and then I'm going to bring Brad over as someone who's been to all of our Linebreaker events.
Well, I'm going to let Emma go and do that. In the meantime, I should probably let you go back and finish doing what you were doing in terms of painting.
Yeah, I've only got tabards on, I think, about 19 demonets to do, and then the victory lap on all the bases, and they'll be done.
I like the term victory lap on the rim of the bases as the way you wrap up a model. I've never heard that, and I really think that's a much nicer way of finishing off a model by saying, yeah, here's the victory lap. I like that.
The Nullin oil won't be dry, so I can't dry brush the bases, and I'll finish them properly next time. But
no, but it means you can sort of start talking to some shop and... Or just hanging out with the other guys on the team and or helping if you're feeling particularly selfless, because I think your new team member is still painting, isn't he?
No, I think he finished up just before.
Oh, okay.
I think he's eating now, but I believe John still has some painting to do.
No, he's saying you've got painting to do. So you might be roped into doing that then.
If he wants me to put some peacock colours on his...
We'll see how late it gets. All right, well, look, guys, thanks very much. We're going to let Emma, I think she's got one more interview before we wrap up the episode, so we'll be back in a second.
Cool.
Awesome. So, yes, I'm back with Brad, and Brad is, I guess he's one of our long-term attendees for Albany. This is your, I'm guessing
all
fifth time.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, you've been to all of them. So what makes you come back?
In a way, it's just an excuse to get away and cross it off in the diary and get away. And it's, you can hear behind us, it's just a fun event.
Yeah, because you don't get to go to many events now.
No, you line them up with family birthdays very well.
Yes, we've been told off for that, lining it up with one was, you know, someone's wife's birthday last year, and then this year they were supposed to have a baby. And yeah, so we really do tend to line it up well.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's great to have you back. So what are you expecting for this event?
Some first games for Ninth Ed. It's a good start. And some actual games. It's like my last game was down here a year ago.
So
now I can actually get some games in.
So yeah, Ninth Ed wasn't even out.
No.
Oh, wow.
And then the world went silly we're down here. So
yeah. Oh, my goodness. So, and it really did. So, as we were driving down to Linebreaker last year, we were hearing on the radio that they were talking about putting restrictions in for a number of people who were in one space. And at the time, I think it had gone down to 500 and we'd got 24 players coming, so we were going to be fine. And then as we were going up, they were reducing it down and reducing it down. Yeah. But so
it's a week later, it wouldn't have happened.
No, it really wouldn't. So, it kind of did spiral, but... Yeah, so this is going to be your very first game of 9th edition.
Yes.
How are you feeling about that?
All right. I think this is a good event for that.
Yeah.
It's always very fun. There's some very different lists.
Yeah.
There's some armies here that aren't even really armies. They're just one model.
Well, yeah. There's
a number of Titans here, so yeah.
That's it. What am I going to focus on this turn?
Oh, objectives. It's something about them. I should do that. Yeah.
So. Actually, yes. Yeah. So that is a big part of 9th edition. You should definitely look at that. So have you managed to look at any of the army lists for this week? For this event, sorry?
No, I didn't know they were released until I got here.
Oh, that's so. Right. Yeah. Okay. So in that case, you won't know what you're looking forward to. Yeah,
completely new experience. But
fab. Have you managed to sort of have an idea around... Are there players in the room that you're thinking, I hope I manage to go against them because I know what they're playing like, or...
No.
You're just going to wing it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Get some games in. It's a laid-back event, so right on a one for it.
Cool. Yeah. Any other thoughts around Linebreaker in general?
Just get people down here, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the event, what do you think your... I guess, what do you think your favourite part of the event is?
The not event.
Yeah.
So tonight, tomorrow night, it's not just... Event's done, pack up, leave.
Yeah.
Everyone sits around, talks about it, talks about anything else.
Yeah. Anything and everything else. Yeah. The conversation that's just gone on.
There's always plenty of stories that come out of it. So, yeah.
Yes, there really is. And that's it. When, saying before to somebody else, whether it was Mark or Shane, I can't remember, but you get to see the other side of players. And I think that, we really get to see the other side of some of the players.
It's not just players, it's who they are.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it is
about... Who made it to bed, who slept on the porch, all that kind of stuff. It's
so that was something that happened in our very first Linebreaker. We did have somebody who didn't even make it into the dorm, so he did slept on the porch, no blankets, and it was in May and absolutely freezing.
It was raining that weekend, yes.
Yeah, it was... I'm going to say subarctic temperatures, so by that it was probably low teens. But I was in three layers of thermals, and he slept in jeans.
The locals were saying it was cold. Yeah,
he slept in jeans and a t-shirt on the veranda. So, look, there's some stories across the years. Yeah, but it is a great way to actually.
And it has changed over the years too. It started off 30K and 40K.
Yeah.
Now it's just the 40K.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more from everywhere, not just. They're opening a few Perth people. It's a very good mix.
Yeah, and we've got people travelling from all over Perth metro area as well. So, we knew who the regular kind of people were. There's people who are coming down from Perth for their very first event and people coming from all over WA, really.
Yeah.
So, and you're one of the furthest away because you're sort of...
Northern suburbs.
Yeah, like an hour past... You're an hour past us, so it's an extra hour of travel. Yeah. So it's a long way to travel for four games.
But it's not just the four games, so that's what justifies it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you certainly couldn't travel home after it, I don't think. Finish at 9:30 and travel home for 5 hours afterwards. But, yeah. So, any other thoughts on Linebreaker?
No, we'll leave it there, I think.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, that's some different perspectives for Linebreaker for 2021. It is, and Emma said it many times, not just on the podcast but in person, it's one of her favourite events, and it's mine too as well. Travelling for 40K, I don't think I can recommend more.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking that when we were speaking in the intro or at some point that we were talking during this, that it's an episode that we've done in the past about travelling for tournaments. And I know that it's something that you're really passionate about and you think that everybody should do
at
some time.
Once. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think before you've done it, you can't really understand why you think it's so important.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, I guess it's a bit like when kids go on school camp.
Yeah.
When
I say travel, to be clear, I don't mean drive an hour to a tournament, play, and then drive home. I mean stay somewhere.
Yeah. And again, that's why I always think it's a shame that the Albany players don't stay, because they miss out on this experience.
Yeah.
And I know that they travel up to Perth, but when there's one or two of them travelling up to Perth and then they stay in their own hotel, they're still missing out on this experience. And I think, like I was saying with the school camps, they do school camps during transition periods for students for a reason.
For bonding and for mental health and
For all of those things. Stuff. And a lot of it is to try and actually get people to, you know, to create those connections and to know who they are and to be able to create friendships. And this does that so well. And I don't think that prior to the first Albany event, I don't think I would have understood that as I do now.
Yeah, well, I mean, prior to that, I'd done, what, 2 ATCs and an ETC prior.
Mm.
And really enjoyed all of them.
Yeah, sadly for Mike, so prior to our first Linebreaker, and actually even just last week when we were talking about travelling for events, and I was saying, not sure how I feel about you getting to have a holiday without
it's
me getting
holiday,
to have a...
It's not a holiday, it's work.
See? And this is what he said. It's not a holiday. I'm going and I'm playing an event and then that's it. That's all I get. And then I fly home again. Yeah, I feel like it is
it's
a holiday.
It's obsec work. It's definitely obsec work.
It's not. It's a boys' weekend.
It's obsec work in those cases.
Yeah, it's a boys' weekend.
Look,
You can keep trying to sell it, but you're using the same words and I'm not buying.
You need to have more of whatever's in that glass of yours beside you.
It's quite nice, actually. This is the downside to... So for all of the people who ask me, how can I get my partner involved in 40K? How can I get my partner involved in tabletop gaming? I want you to think really long and really hard about whether or not you want your partner involved in tabletop gaming. Do you want them to know how much that box actually costs? Do you want them to know that actually that hasn't been sitting in the dungeon for the last 3 years? Because I know that that only got released 3 days ago. So nice try. Try again. Do you want them to know that actually when you're traveling for a game, it's not all work and then you go back to the hotel and sleep and then fly home the next day? Actually, it's more about do you really want them to know that? So have a think about that before you start encouraging.
Look, there's for those team events, there's definitely camaraderie, and I suppose that's what could be best described as happening here, is there are at least 3 different tabletop teams that are down here, 4 I can think of actually, that are broken up, 5, see.
I've got 4.
Well, there's the Albany team, which will be here tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about them. I've got 5.
But at the moment, we've obviously got at least 4 teams in the room who are kind of cross-pollinating, I suppose. Like, if you look around the room, they're not stuck in their little insular groups. They're sharing knowledge and information and, you know, talking about past losses to each other. And, you know, there's a lot of those shared experiences that you get from going to any tournament where you are a regular.
Yeah.
And but on top of that, for this one, there are a bunch of players in the room who've never been to a tournament before.
Yeah.
And there's an opportunity there for them to instantly integrate so that when they come to an event in Perth, there are 20 people in the room who already know them.
Mm.
And
but they know the other 20 people in the room as well.
Exactly.
So when you walk into that room, it's not daunting because you don't know the other 100 people in the room.
Mm. And so, look, we do have some big events, and WATC being the largest of them can be a big experience. But there's
We've just held... first blood. How many people were
in? 90-something. Was it 92 or 94 players?
Well, I don't know. It was 90-something. You know, by the time you add 90-something, plus the couple of spectators, plus you and I, we're at 100 strangers in the room.
Yeah.
And some of us are stranger than others.
Oh, that is... looking around this room, that is 100% true.
There's no onesies today.
No, I'm very disappointed. Although he did shave a corn... an icon of corn onto the back of his head this year.
Mm. Now, and he's got a unicorn onesie as well.
I'm going to get a photo of that and include it in the show notes. So you need to go and follow this back to the OBSEC website. I'm going to have a photo of the blue Great Unclean one that's over there that looks like a giant Smurf. And I'm then going to get a photo of Paul, or the back of Paul's head, because he didn't shave a mark of corn into the back of his head. He shaved his head, leaving a mark of corn tuft of hair.
Yeah. Well, he didn't do it. He had a friend do it.
Yeah. But
it would have been very cool if he'd managed to do that by himself. That is skill.
I don't think he has the coordination for that when he's completely upright and regular, let alone in his present state. So.
Well, it was done earlier today or yesterday or whenever.
That doesn't change my qualifier.
We are being kind.
Look.
Well, you're not. I'm suggesting we should be kind.
Paul's awesome. He came, like Emma said at the start of the episode, he was actually interviewed for our Linebreaker episode last year. He is a very big personality. He's a very out there guy, but he's always happy to chat and always happy to be part of the community and always happy to be supportive of people joining the community. So I certainly can't fault his
enthusiasm.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's quiet in here because he's not stood in the room at the moment. So we've had a slight dispersal of the crowd around us.
There, yes, we have. Now that we're just about finished, everyone's
buggered off.
Outside.
Yeah. Look, this is a shorter episode than we would normally publish because of the way we are recording it and publishing it. This is just an insight into some of the entertainment that we get out of coming and doing Line Breaker every year. It's an awesome event. I would encourage you to check it out. We've got the tables set up. Well, not completely set up, but we've got them out ready for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 28 playing tomorrow. I reckon we could probably make it 32.
You think?
If we don't use the two side doors, yes.
I'm fairly sure that they need to be accessible for... Well, that's
where the number 28 came from last time.
Yeah.
So, but we also made some suggestions to the Gill Creek caretakers today about enclosing part of the patio area. So, who knows, next year we might be able to have a few more.
And to be fair, they've done a whole heap of work
they
around
have. The,
here.
The venue's really nice. It's moving ahead from the last 12 months. We've seen some significant changes and improvements, so it's really cool.
Yeah.
But...
So who knows, perhaps we will see the outdoor area enclosed so we could expand out there. And you know, Brad was saying previously that we used to have 30K playing and now we're just 40K. And you know, there's reasons for that, but part of it is as well to do with the space.
Yeah, there's the hall itself. I mean, they even made a comment to me this afternoon when we checked in that the hall itself is probably slightly too small for some of the other events they host here other than us.
Yeah.
And when I suggested they sort of double the width of it, they both kind of went, oh, we've got the space for that. And I thought, well, that'd suit us down to the ground.
Mm.
But
sadly, we come once a year, so I don't think they can modify the hall just to suit us.
No. But
shame.
But you know what? When the Line Breaker tickets for next year come around, it's definitely one that if you and a couple of friends want to come down for a weekend away...
Yeah.
It's one I would encourage everyone to consider if they can make the trip for. It's about more than just the tournament.
That's not just us trying to sell tickets for Line Breaker.
No, we sold out this year. We didn't.
We have. So, but it's also about if there are events where you can travel and stay and you get the opportunity to have a similar experience outside of coming to Line Breaker, and whether that's travelling for something like the ATC or travelling, if you're not in Australia, travelling for whatever else, and you get to do that with other people, then, yeah, definitely.
I don't think it'd be the same experience going solo. Like, I would do it.
You would do it. And I actually think for you, it depends on your personality type. So for me, it wouldn't work and it wouldn't be the same experience because I am not a joiner. So I would go and play the tournament and then I would be back in my room and, reading a book or watching something on Netflix kind of thing. But for you, when you went over to... ETC or to LVO, you'd created connections through Facebook groups or through Discord channels, that kind of thing, with people who were going to be there. So you were going out afterwards, going to dinner with people from America or, from whatever.
I ended up going out with the guys from Forge World from LVO.
Well, yeah, but then that's kind of what I mean. You found the opportunity to be able to do this, even though... And I know you went over to LVO, you went over with a few different people.
Well, Brad, who you've just spoken to.
So you did. You still had that, but you still found a way that even if you'd gone solo, I still think you would have that experience. But if you are more of a me personality than a you personality, then travelling over with a few people and then, having your group hang out with their group and still getting that works.
Yeah. I do think that...
I guess what I like about this is that you don't need to come with a group of friends. And what happens, I think, when you travel and you just then spending time with that same group of friends that you spend time with anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what's different here is that it is more like a school camp. And well, somebody, we call it Warhammer Camp, but really I think it was named in the very first year Nerd Camp. So... And we've talked about the idea of extending it for another night and making it that bit longer and maybe adding hobby elements and that kind of stuff, which could be cool. It's not likely to happen while our kids are the age they are, but it could be cool.
No, exactly. Well, I think that needs to wrap up this episode, so I've got the data to upload it because we are quite a ways away from the modern world, not as far as many people.
We're not that far away.
Well, driving down here, we'd have about 20 kilometres of connection and then about 80 kilometres of nothing and then 20 kilometres of connection.
Albany's not a backwater country town.
No, but we're not in Albany. We're half an hour outside of Albany in the bush.
Yeah, so we're half an hour to civilisation.
Yeah, but the internet connection out here is a bit spotty, let's be fair.
Yeah, well. All right.
All right. Look, we're looking forward to the next 48-ish hours.
Is it going to be that long? Well, no, I'm joking.
I'm just doing the maths going, like, by Sunday afternoon, we'll be home.
Yeah.
So 48 hours from now, we will be home. Mm-hmm. Kids will all be in bed. The trailer will be fully loaded and just jammed in the garage.
Yeah.
I'll empty it on the Monday morning. So we've got 48 hours ahead of us before we can relax.
Yeah.
And that includes a four and a half hour drive home, depending on how the roadworks go.
Yeah.
So we're going to sign off. We're going to start prepping for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We will try and do some live stuff during the day if we can.
Yep.
At this point in time, I am playing as ringer, so whether I'll get a chance to, I don't know. But we'll see what the day develops and go from there, I guess.
Yep.
Other than that, we're done for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll speak to you again soon.
Happy gaming, everyone.
You've been listening to the Objective Secured podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, you can visit our website, objectivesecured.com.au. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/objectivesecured, or you can email us, obsec@optusnet.com.au. Thanks for listening.